Good morning. This is a Neighborhood and Quality of Life Committee meeting for February 24th. If you'd like to join us via Zoom, you can go ahead. The ID is 850-9952-4946. Again, the webinar ID is 850-9952-4946. Or you can call us toll free, 888-475-4499. 888-475-4499. Joining us this morning, we have Vice Mayor Stephen Miner, Commissioner Samulin, and Commissioner Gongora will be with us shortly. With that, before I begin, Eric, do you have any announcements or anything you'd like us to know before we begin?
Yes, Chair. Item number two, the item regarding the Miami Beach Community Development Corporation is being deferred this morning.
Okay. Show that as deferred. Thank you. All right. And Commissioner Gongora did ask that I skip his items while we wait for him. So we'll go ahead and go to the next item on our agenda in order. And that would be item number three, discussion regarding the Normandy Shores Gate. I know I've had a request to defer that item. Staff, do you want to quickly tee us up and then I'll open it up?
Sure, Madam Chair. This is an item that we've been on the neighborhood's agenda for approximately a year. I've personally been involved for most of that time, had multiple conversations with all of the stakeholders related to this item. We've presented a memo. I do apologize. The memo didn't come out until yesterday, but we do think that we've presented a clear understanding after our year of doing research on where this item sits today. We've presented three options that we think are worth discussing. There are certainly other options that have been put on the table during that period of time. And at this point, the administration is recommending the Neighborhood and Quality of Life Committee to consider our recommendation of closing the convenience gates on the east side of the Normandy Shores Special Neighborhood Taxing District. And we're happy to discuss any or all of the information that we've presented in the memo.
Okay. Unless my colleagues want to speak real quickly. Yes, Commissioner Gongora. Welcome back.
I'm sorry, because thank you. What item are we on?
Well, we moved over to the Normandy Shores District Gate. I mentioned that there is a request to defer the item, but I am going to let the public who have their hands up on this item briefly speak, and I wanted to hear from administration. So I didn't know if you had any comments before I open it up really quickly.
Okay. Are they speaking on the merits of the item or on the request for the continuance?
I'm not sure. I have to let the public speak to know what they're speaking on.
Okay, because what I don't want to happen is this. If we're going to continue it, I'd rather just discuss that. If we're going to get a half hour into the merits and then vote to continue it, that's not a particularly productive use of our time.
No, agreed. But
and I'm so sorry. So that was my question, but I don't mind. You're the chair, so I'm happy to hear from the public, and then I'll give you my thoughts. And I'm sorry I'm late.
No, that's okay. The administration does not want us to defer the item. They would like us to proceed, so I don't mind listening to hear if we can get to some consensus or if we need to defer it. So, all right. The first caller on this is John Bowes, and you're only going to have 2 minutes. We are going to keep this moving along.
All right. Good morning, Madam Chair, Commissioner Gongora, Commissioner Miner, and staff. Thank you for taking up this item. My name is John Bowes. I'm the resident of Normandy Shores Tax District for 33 years. I'm the president of Normandy Shores HOA, and today I'm representing Normandy Shores HOA and its residents. But before we start, I would like for a continuance to March for the following reasons. Number one, we have been on hold for 3 months while the county was reviewing the 1993 permit issue, and we were just informed last week that the county will not be be interfering or making a judgment on this. Number two, due to the short notice the county's decision, our legal counsel is not available today and has not had enough time to prepare properly, given that short notice. And NOSHA did not have enough time to inform our members of the options, potential outcomes, and could not, on such a short notice, represent this committee what they would agree to or to the impact that the decision may have. Number three, there is a great deal of history and legal aspects that the committee should be aware of, which will be provided and presented for the next hearing. Number four, the Fairway Park Association is not prejudiced by a 1 month delay. They still have access. They're not being denied. And number five, NOSHA is prejudiced if this item is not heard, is heard today, because we just haven't had that due diligence due to that pause, that 3 to 4 month pause. We stopped paying the attorney because there was no sense in working and moving forward if we didn't know the outcome of the county. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John, and I can appreciate that. Paul, 2 minutes.
Good morning, this is Paul Mocha. I'm the president of the Fairway Park Neighborhood Association. We believe this has been gone on long enough. All the information has been out there for over 9-10 months. Eric has done a great job mediating it and discussing with everyone. We outside of the gates are opposed to any restrictions to the use of those gates. We've had access for 28 years. And the real question is, what has changed? Why would we lose access to the public streets that we actually live on? The restrictions would block half the residents from being able to access the public streets they live on. These are not convenient to us. These block our ability to get in and out of our homes when cars are trying to go through. These gates are ugly, and we've only tolerated them because we've had access. They do nothing for us. They don't provide any security. They don't provide any traffic calming. So we've just put up with it. All the districts in Miami Beach are a single island with a guardhouse, except for Normandy Shores, which is divided into two neighborhoods. On top of that, the Normandy Shores taxing district is the only district that receives taxpayer subsidy. 35% of their budget every year is paid by us. So adding insult to injury that they would block us from using our streets with our tax dollars for those gates is just unacceptable. If the district wants to secure their borders, they can follow the recommendation of staff and they can seal it off. That would provide exactly what that district is looking for, which is security and traffic calming. If they want to continue to have convenience of using the east side of the island, they can put up guardhouses. Guardhouses are good enough for every other taxing district. There's no reason why they couldn't be put up there. Thank you very much.
Next caller, Daniel, you have 2 minutes. You're on. Oh, you're no longer on. Next caller, TS. Oh, wait, you're back on.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you, commissioners. I hope you all are doing well. Thank you for hearing this item. What we're asking from you today is policy direction. This is something that's been in front of you for a year. I think we've all spoken to each of you. I think staff's done a great job putting out the history. I think Ken did a great job giving you the cliff notes. And, you know, the lack of that policy direction just continues to divide the community. I support the staff memo. I think that is the best option, the equitable option. I think that will do great things for both sides of the neighborhood. I think every other option, really starts to create division. I ask that you discuss it today in detail and that you provide the leadership and direction that the community needs, because we continue to suffer as this item is delayed in providing clear direction to the administration on the policy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. T. Spector, you're next. You're on. Okay, we're going to move on. Tegan?
Hello? Yes. Hi, I'm sorry. I'm very opposed to everything that has to do with the gates. The they're not legally appropriately assigned or documented. They segregate an area that the city of Miami Beach has made a point of being an integrated area rather than a segregated one. They get advantages from the city, not only dollars, but services that a closed community should not get. And on top of that, the city itself has just spent an enormous amount of money on the park. And the park, by its gates and by the gates on the community, has placed this park totally within the property that's gated away. It's not, in order to get access to the property, you literally have to walk past the gates. In order to get to the golf course, you have to drive around. But meanwhile, if you walk those streets during the day or the evening, the golf course is used by the residents of that association as free property. They walk their dogs on it. They party on it. They stroll on it. And it's open. So at least if you're not going to open that up, I would suggest that that whole park and the whole golf course needs to be gated and access made available to people so that they can use it readily. Otherwise, it would seem to me that this park has been built totally for the...
Caller, we appreciate your calling, but your time is up.
All right, next caller, Tegan Eve. Thank you. Christina is our timekeeper today. Tegan.
Okay, I'm unmuted. So we've been, I have to say, you, the city staff, Fairway Park Neighborhood Association residents have all been dealing with this for over a year now. It is time for us to have some direction. I do want to point out that the Fairway Neighborhood Association has never had an issue with the existence of the Normandy Shores HOA taxing district or their right to security as a district. We've had equitable access for the past 28, this has been going on so long, it's now 28 years. We wanted no change whatsoever. We did not want the status quo to be interrupted. It was the Normandy Shores HOA insistence that we not be able to access a new RFID system that spurred us into action and led to the discovery, as we fully expected, that the gates were never permitted in the first place. The city staff has spent unconscionable amounts of time on this, and it's time for everybody to move on. Since the NSHOA is insisting on some change, really the only reasonable solution is to close the intersection as the city staff recommends. It's a sad day for the entire island. We never wanted to lose our one island connectivity, but here we are. We're all losing here, but again, we never wanted the change, but we have to agree with the city manager and what the former HOA president also affirmed was that we should have access, but since they want to stop that, the only reasonable solution is to just close the gates completely, except for emergency traffic and pedestrians, which right now don't have access. Thank you, commissioners. I really appreciate your time and all your attention to this issue.
Next caller, Kim Brown. Eve, Kim. Kim, you're on. Okay, we're going to move on to Josh, caller Josh.
Hello, can you hear me, Commissioner?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Yeah, just a quick note. I live in Normandy Shores. I think there's just comments being made that are not factual. So I just wanted to jump in. I'm listening in to the call. It sounds like they're... are people that on the Fairway side that are just upset. And so I agree with at least the last caller. It didn't need to come to this. I think unfortunately, you're probably not hearing from many residents, the 300 plus residents that live inside Normandy Shores. There's an ordinance in place. I think that's where the conversation should start, not necessarily focusing on people's, beliefs or feelings for the past year or so. This hasn't been an issue for 20 something years. So there's an ordinance, and I just wanted to call in as someone who lives here that understands that, yeah, there's people driving through that have clickers on fairway. They're speeding. So what can we do about that? Just from a factual basis, when we moved here, when others moved here, those gates were there, and there's a golf course here. There's things of that nature. Again, there's an ordinance in place. Thanks.
Thank you. Next caller, Carmen Brown.
Good morning, Madam Chair, commissioners, and staff. Normandy Shores has had a valid ordinance in effect since 1993, which created our safe neighborhood district pursuant to Florida statute. And as a special tax district, the homeowners within our district pay the majority of the security costs. The stated intent and purpose of our ordinance is to reduce traffic, crime, and promote safety and security in our neighborhood. The boundaries of this neighborhood are clearly delineated by the map that was attached as the exhibit to the original ordinance. And it shows that the area to the east of the two rear gates is not included. While at some point in the past, clickers for the residents-only gates were sold by the city to individuals outside of the tax district, these actions do not constitute a policy. And in fact, no written policy exists expanding the district to include those outside our residents-only gates. It is our position that the city needs to correct its error, halt the sale of gate access devices to anyone who resides outside of the tax district in order to uphold the clear intent and purpose of the ordinance. Thank you for your time today.
Our next caller, we're going to go back to Kim, and then our final caller will be Caroline, because those are the only hands that are up, and then we have to move it up to the virtual dais, and that is it. So, Kim, you're on.
Can you hear it?
Hi.
Yes.
Hi, can you hear me? Okay, finally. To address the delay issue, this was raised by the Normandy Shores HOA a year ago. City staff has been working for a year on this. Each time we get up to a meeting, the Normandy Shores HOA asks for it to be delayed. And it's always at the very last minute, and it is prejudicing us, because we get prepared, we assume it's going forward, and then at the last minute, they want it delayed and we agree to it. This is not a surprise. They've had a year to prepare. This is what they are asking for. They brought this proposal. We're not forcing this on them. This is their idea. They have known about this meeting. This meeting has been on the agenda. They've known neighborhoods is coming up. That as soon as the agenda was printed, this was item number 3. Staff has been inordinately burdened by this. And I think they've come up, the manager has written an honest, thorough, and straightforward assessment of where we are now. And it's unfortunate, but we need to make a decision. We can't keep putting staff through this, and we really can't keep putting the neighborhoods through this. It's divisive. There's a lot of friction at these gates. And I think the manager's solution makes sense. At a minimum, the commission should consider at least eliminating some of the options. For example, privatizing the use of these gates, auctioning them off to the highest bidder, and preventing one neighborhood from using another neighborhood's streets to get to their own homes. I think that would simplify the issues. If the commission doesn't feel ready to pick a final solution, at least eliminate the solution that makes absolutely no sense and is likely illegal. There's no reason to delay. And I think for staff's sake, we need to go forward with this.
Next final caller, Caroline Berg.
Sorry about that. I was on mute by a second. Yeah, I would just echo Carmen's Brown position on the ordinance. And she said that there was really no policy in place. But if you look at the 1993 ordinance and you look at the amount of gate clickers that were distributed on that ordinance, if that ordinance was put into effect because it was intended to be for the residents only. At that time, there were 350 homes. and the amount of clickers were under 1,000. So that implied that it was only for the homeowners at that time. The fact that the city decided to sell clickers elsewhere is really a problem of the city. It's not a problem of the ordinance. The ordinance is clearly stated. And I think there's ample legal ground to say that because of that, it was really intended for the people who pay the tax in this district. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, I do see one final hand. I will let Lauren Lewis speak, and then that's our final speaker. Their hand just went up. And Lauren.
Hi there. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Just a couple of things I'd like to point out so far about what's been said. One, the ordinance, the special taxing district written in 1993 says absolutely nothing. Oh, sorry. My name is Lauren Lewis. I live on South Shore Drive inside the gates, three houses away from the resident only gate on South Shore Drive. However, contrary to the other people who have spoken so far, all board members of the association here, which is just a club, it's not a legal association. No one here is authorized to take away any property rights of the 300 plus residents who live within the gates. Going back to the ordinance, there's nothing in the ordinance that specifically says that people who live on the other side of the gate are no longer going to be able to drive within the special taxing district or use those gates. Over the past 27 years, everybody who's been living here has been living with the status quo. And I would disagree with Carmen that that does not create a policy. 27 years before you speak up is a little bit too long. Three, there's never been a survey done by these board members of the residents to see what their position is. What is the majority position of the residents within the gates? It's a small group of homeowners. The rest of us are excluded from their meetings, except for the biannual meetings where we're cut off. They are a group of overzealous, entitled homeowners acting with authority, raising money, and bullying people on the other side of the gates. And I feel obligated to speak up for their behalf, even though I live inside the gate. And with respect to people speeding, residents, the 300 plus, also speed. And I've brought this up at multiple homeowners meetings. And it's
caller, we appreciate your comments, but your time is up. Caller, your time is up. Thank you for calling.
Okay. We're going to bring it out up to the virtual dais. You know, I have a thought. I think one of the, hold on, let me just go back here. One of the, I don't know, does anybody want to comment on what they feel we should be doing as next steps? Or because I was thinking that there may be a way that we can move this forward, but then at the same time, not necessarily. I know that we just got the memo last night with all of the different iterations of what the options could be and what the staff's recommendation is. And so we have a big meeting with a lot of different items. And so I don't know if everybody's had the opportunity to digest it, read it. And so I guess that's my first question to my colleagues. The second question is, this has been going on quite a while. And so what we have done in the past when staff really wants to move something forward is perhaps if we move it forward, we don't have to give it a recommendation today to let the inside the gate single family homes have a proper meeting and survey or whatever they need to do on their end to formalize and still keep it moving so that we're not back at neighborhood next month relitigating this and then sending it again to commission. I think it's exhausting for the residents, but maybe we don't hear it in March. Maybe we hear it at the April commission meeting to give everybody that time, but at least it's there so that we move it out of committee. Unless you have a strong feeling one way or the other on this, it's just somewhere I'm trying to find some resolution where we move it forward, but are respectful because we did get the memo last night. Commissioner Gongora, your hand is up.
Thank you. I think you've raised really the two potential paths that we can go on. This issue has been going along a long, long time. And I know I've spoken with residents on both sides of the issue and both sides of the gate. Truthfully, I never thought that the recommendation was going to come down to completely close both convenience gates. And I first learned that late yesterday when this item was published. So even though this item has been on the agenda for a while, the staff recommendation came out less than 24 hours before the meeting. So I want to ask a question. the people that live outside of the gate that are upset about this, if they want to go get a clicker today or tomorrow, Eric, can they get one?
Yes.
Okay, so people on both sides are able to go get a clicker today. The Normandy Shores homeowners, which are inside the gate, aren't happy about that and believe that that's improper, right? They're the ones looking to change this. Is that correct?
That was the request that was put forward, yes.
Okay. Yet they're the ones that are asking to continue this, knowing that if we continue it, the people outside the gate can still go get a clicker while we defer this. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Based upon the fact that this specific recommendation to close the gates, which I don't know how I feel about today, and I'm not prepared to give an opinion on, came out less than 24 hours ago, deferring this a month actually, I guess, is bad for the people that are asking for the continuance, because meanwhile, everybody's going to continue to get the clicker. I don't see the harm in deferring this for a month. I guess that's where my thoughts are.
Okay. Deferring it for a month to hear it again in committee, or passing it without a recommendation so that we can have a full body discussion on this in not necessarily the March agenda, but the April. I'm fine either way, but I think that staff, Vice Mayor, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, I think you were about to say what I was going to say, what that's ultimately the conclusion. And I guess it's hard to know whether we should go straight to commission in April, because we don't know exactly what the additional information we're going to receive in the next couple of weeks. So I'm fine either way, though.
All right. Well, I think that this item is this affects a lot of people. And it's funny because we did get a lot of people calling with some consensus that they agree with the manager's recommendation. But of course, we want to make sure that whatever we do, we did get a request for deferral so that they can bring forward the information to, I'm assuming, to the rest of the homeowners to formalize. And do you get a sense, Eric, that something will change between this month and next month?
I mean, I'm always hopeful that we'll get to a place of consensus. I think that there's a lot of nuance to the discussion that's going on. I don't think that anybody was factually inaccurate in their presentations. It's just there's differing opinions on how best to deal with it. I don't know that any of the facts are necessarily going to change, but, this is one of those things where I'm still hopeful that we can build consensus and come to a conclusion that everybody is maybe not thrilled with, but can live with.
Commissioner, Vice Mayor.
Yeah, and as Commissioner Gregora said, I've spoken to all the parties as well. But Eric, when you've done these negotiations, and I know you've been working hard on this, so thank you, but have they been, you talk to each party separately? Has there ever been where their parties are in the same room or on the same Zoom having these negotiations?
We've done mostly separate conversations, but there has been one where we got everyone on the same Zoom call and talked about different options. And I think that heavily weighed into the recommendation from the administration on where we think we probably have the most consensus.
Okay. I'll leave it to you if they think that's worth one more shot at having sort of a mediation type of meeting, but, okay. That's all.
Thanks, Vice Mayor.
Well, what was the question?
We have to make a motion one way or the other. And, one way maybe to accomplish both is maybe have it as a placeholder, move it without, it sounds like Commissioners Gongora and Vice Mayor Minor, you're not ready to make a formal recommendation up or down on the manager's recommendation. Is that correct?
Correct.
So you're not comfortable moving forward with the administration's recommendation at this time. I'm saying we don't have to make, if that's the case, we don't have to make a recommendation. We can move it without a recommendation to the April meeting and then have it, if there's no, you know, if there's a need to bring it back to committee next month, we can absolutely discuss it and make a formal recommendation. But at least if nothing gets anywhere, if the needle is not moved, at least it's still at commission in April, because I think at the end of the day, everybody needs some sort of peace of mind and some sort of resolution so that we can all move forward in the best manner possible, where everybody has an opportunity. You know, we are trying to navigate through a very interesting item that affects many people. So that's just what I'm throwing out there. You two, you know, I can't make a motion because as chair, so if, I'll go with whatever the majority wants to do with this today, because we do need to move forward. Commissioner Gongora.
I think we should defer it to next month. I think if we send it to commission without any discussion at neighborhoods, it's going to be a very lengthy item at commission. And I think we should take it on a committee. It's a difficult item. I'm not looking forward to it because it's terrible when you have two neighborhoods not happy, but I think it's better for us to just handle it.
Okay. Commissioner Vice Mayor.
I was fine with either, but I think what Commissioner Gongora does make sense. This could be a pretty lengthy discussion. Hopefully we can hammer it out at neighborhoods.
Yes, I hope so. All right. So show it done as an item that will be next month. And Eric, next time, please just give us the memo earlier so that the public has an opportunity to see the recommendation, so that we have an opportunity to digest that recommendation. And I really appreciate all the residents that called. We will see you next month. Thank you so much. All right, next item. I'm sorry?
My apologies on the timing.
No, listen, I get it. You guys are working around the clock and there's a lot going on. And until you get your, I understand why we got it when we got it, but I also understand needing to digest it. Next item is, item number two was deferred, Commissioner Gongora. So we're going to go to item number one, discussing crime in Miami Beach.
And I don't, did you announce before I got on that I had requested defer number two?
Yes, we have done that.
Okay, excellent. Sorry. Okay, great. I think that somebody from police will be on. I've read the item that's in the agenda. I reviewed the supplemental that came out last night. In light of recent criminal incidents, I think it's important that we have this conversation to explain arrest data, the spring break plan, and how technology is assisting us in beating crime.
Okay, I see we have Assistant Chief Acosta and Major Dose on. And Deputy Chief Wayne Jones, who will be speaking.
Madam Chair, good morning. Good morning. Actually, it's going to be Major Dose is going to present on crime this morning and talk about what we've been doing during the spring break, the implementation of the spring break stopping plan, and more importantly, how we've been using technology to forward the enforcement efforts.
Good morning, all. Can everybody hear me? Thank you for giving us this brief moment to give you the, I guess, the 2 weeks of stats that we've been able to garner from our spring break deployments. As you know, we've moved our personnel around to be able to better staff the events that are coming, and we've already experienced an uptick in crowds here along Miami Beach, particularly in the ADCD. So in the last 2 weeks, we've been able to implement the LPR details, which are license plate readers. And from that detail, we've issued a total of 537 uniform traffic citations, of which 175 criminal citations, which are suspended licenses, have been issued. We've towed 41 cars, made 8 felony arrests, 13 misdemeanor arrests, 2 stolen vehicles were recovered, and we have seized 15 tags. This is just an amazing amount in the last 2 weeks. We will continue this throughout the event As you know, we do have permanent LPRs out there, but these are additional teams of LPR vehicles that we've stationed along the thoroughfares to capture and try to funnel those that are trying to commit crimes in our area and safeguard our community. So for the arrest data in spring break one, for the week one, we've made from February 15th to the 21st, 149 arrests during that one weekend. 74 arrests were included out of the ADCD. That included 30 Miami Beach ordinances arrests, 16 misdemeanor arrests. We seized 12 firearms during that short period of time. We arrested 23 felons. 4 had warrants, 1 traffic arrest. So we've made quite a bit of arrests. Out of the 20, the South Beach arrests included 24. Mid and North Beach had 51 arrests. So 65% of our arrests are occurring south of Dade Boulevard, which is a considerable number if you really think about it. We are geared up for the following weeks with the additional assistance of Miami-Dade, who's coming to assist us on Fridays and Sundays. We've staffed up our manpower for the weekends as well. So we're well ahead of the game. I think we'll be well prepared with these. Our special team that we created, which was our problem-solving team, is back in effect. That ADCD safe operation has continued. We redeployed the folks out there again with the teams of 24 officers and detectives combined together. And we've really made a huge impact on these weekdays and weekends. And of course, our message is, you know, you come down here, have fun, follow the rules, you'll be absolutely fine. But we have a zero tolerance approach to criminal behavior. As you've seen, if we let up on the gas, we really do have an element that wants to push the boundaries of behavior to include the stolen car pursuit that we had, that if we had not pursued this subject, he could have possibly hurt a lot of individuals. Both subjects are in custody. That was a phenomenal outcome. Thank God no one was hurt, to include our officers and motormen. That was sideswiped. One of them was rammed as well. And luckily we made it out okay. Both subjects are in custody. And I'm sure you've seen the news briefs on them. One was a juvenile. One was a 18-year-old. Up to no good down in here in South Beach. So that's what we have. If you have any questions, please, I'm open for any other questions. Madam Chair?
I don't see the chair. Commissioner Samuelin has his hand raised, if you'd like to go ahead.
Thank you. First off, let me start by thanking the administration and particularly the men and women at MBPD for everything they're doing. This is not an easy situation. I appreciate all the efforts everyone's making, as I'm sure my colleagues do, and I certainly like to hear the language of zero tolerance. We had a parallel discussion at finance, and I believe Commissioner Minor has an item about lighting. So there's some different things going on. And I want to pick up on the technology side of it specifically. When we talk about technology, I think it's a broad topic. We have cameras, we have LPRs, a new crime center. To me, lighting is part of technology. And I believe back in the GEO bond, we also had some funding for radio systems as well. So my request, if it is the will of this body, would be to literally just see a map of the dates these things are coming in place and options to accelerate them. I'd just like to see all the different components integrated and any ideas to accelerate. So I think these technology tools are great. I know they're in the GEO bond. I know lighting probably comes from Public Works, but I would just like to see very clear presentation of key milestones and opportunities to accelerate if that is the will of this body. Thank you.
Thanks. Chief, do you want to comment on that at all?
Yes, sir. We are obviously we're working towards the concept of consolidating all the technology and bringing it all together. In the memo that was presented as it pertains to some of the PD initiatives, it talks about that or it points that out as to number of sites that are basically coming on board. And when you look at it, you know we're close to 400 right now, and that's camera feeds that'll be coming back to hopefully to the building. And being able to utilize that even further. I've worked with ACM Carpenter and Roy Coley on the lighting issue. They've been absolutely phenomenal in their support. And moreover, their influence and their enthusiasm with trying to help, you know, hit some of those areas that we think are problematic as it pertains to lighting. So again, my hat goes off to them and obviously my appreciation as well. I think Captain Garcia is on the line, and he has a little bit more information as it pertains to the camera issue or the consolidation initiative. If you like, Commissioner, he can go into a little bit further, or you can just kind of take with what I've said, and just we'll go from there.
Sure, let's hear from him. Go ahead,
Captain Garcia. You on?
Just give us one second. We're bringing him over right now. Captain Garcia is with us right now.
Hello. We're currently, good morning, everybody. We're currently working on several initiatives to try to accelerate our installation and bringing online of additional camera feeds as well as LPRs in the entertainment district. We have a large project concluding in the next week or so. Hopefully we'll bring several dozen additional camera feeds from South Beach into our citywide video management system. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot of progress being made, and we hope to continue that rate of expansion of our citywide camera system. Of course, it's only a tool. You know, it's a very important tool, but it's only a tool. It's really dependent on the cops out on the street and inside the department using actionable information to affect what's going on out there. Do you have any specific questions I can answer?
I don't. Not at this time. Thank you.
I'm back. Sorry, sure. I had technical difficulties. Vice Mayor, your hand is raised.
Yeah, no, good discussion. I'll just add and thank you. The police presence and visibility has been definitely noticed by our residents. So I know it's tough to keep up. We have enhanced staffing. We have obviously the county officers that are helping out, but the presence has been absolutely noticed and appreciated by our residents. So, and I know I don't want to get into too much discussion. I know the chief has mentioned in the past, I know we've had some discussions about sort of using mobile buses and vans to process arrests. We keep our officers out on the street for longer instead of having them come back to headquarters and process. So all these ideas that are being implemented are great, so we can have that police presence out there to deter crime. Thanks.
Assistant Chief Acosta, your hand is up.
Yes, Madam Chair. Good morning, everyone. Commissioners, staff members on the call this morning. I'll just take a moment of your time to Commissioner Miner's point regarding procedures that will keep our police officers on the roadways and in the entertainment district while we process prisoners is being established. And we're trying something new during spring break, sort of a pilot program to be able to process prisoners rather quickly, their property and or evidence. And get the officers back on the street. So that's currently being worked on. Additionally, I want to just point out something that Commissioner Samuelin said regarding a non-tolerance approach to what we're doing out on the roadways. During the last week in the ADCD alone,
If you see, we made 30 city ordinance arrests, and that's a proactive approach to an officer engaging and observing quality of life issues, things of that nature, and in a proactive way, making those types of arrests. So the no tolerance approach goes along with those type of statistics that you see there as well, as a side note. Additionally, I believe it was Commissioner Sandler made mention about the radios and the technology regarding our radios. We're on the final stage, the final point of the installation of all the equipment and data that goes into our final radio site. I had a conversation yesterday evening with Lazaro Guerra on my way home about the final radio site. So we are looking at perhaps another 3 weeks, 4 weeks, where we would be fully operational from a radio standpoint and getting that technology into our police cars.
Commissioner Gongora, your hand is up, and there are people who are have their hands up to speak from the public. Would you like to speak or wait?
I'll wait. Go to the public, and I'll hold my comments.
Okay. 2 minutes. Our first caller, Lauren Lewis. Lauren?
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi. Sorry. I feel like I'm a resident in North Beach in Normandy Shores, and I know that earlier we talked about another issue involving the residents-only gates. I feel like the access to the gates sometimes totally eliminates another issue that I have with those gates. Apparently, they're the only streets in all of Miami Beach that are closed when a hurricane is coming, and I don't understand the logic or the safety involved in prioritizing empty homes of property over the health and safety of the people still in their homes who may need to get out before, during, or after a hurricane. And I'd really love for that to be discussed, addressed, and, you know, maybe a policy put in place before the next hurricane season regarding keeping those gates if they need to be locked in a locked open position, so that, you know, in God forbid a case of a medical emergency or a safety emergency, an ambulance, a fire truck, those gates are open. As I said, I live very close to the gates, and I have seen fire trucks and ambulances stuck on the other side of that gate when it's in a non-functioning condition. And I'm sure it delays with their care. And secondly, regarding speeding in our neighborhood, I think, is it possible to get speed bumps in our neighborhood? Those are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to take the next caller, and then we'll address the questions. Daniel Serraldo.
Yes, hi. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Daniel Serraldo with the Miami Design Preservation League. Thanks, as always, to the police for all that they're doing. And, you know, protecting the safety of residents and visitors. I was curious whether the county is providing significant funding currently for this operation. I noticed a recent LTC mentioned that a large number of the crimes committed are by county residents outside of, you know, who live outside of Miami Beach. And so given that, you know, the city is such a huge draw, perhaps we can also be having the discussion with the county to augment the funding that it goes towards, you know, keeping this tourist destination safe. So thanks for all you do and look forward to the discussion.
Thank you, Daniel. Bruce Beckman, you're a final caller. Bruce?
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, it took a while to get the unmute. I just have a quick question for the police. I noticed with all the gun incidents, is there any pattern of these guns mostly coming from out of state linked to some sort of professional drug trafficking, or is it just random people, some local, some from away?
If I may, that's primarily what we're seeing is people are just carrying. For example, if they're coming down from Georgia, there's an open carry provision in the state of Georgia that allows them to do so. And, you know, people are just bringing their firearms here. Again, we're seeing some of the firearms are tied into criminal acts. and others are just, they're carrying a concealed weapon without having the concealed weapons permit. We're just surprised since November of last year, the number of firearms that I think that really have come on into our streets. And I think we're up to over 30 right now that we've seen since sometime in November moving forward.
Thank you. Our next caller is Mitch Novick. Mitch, you're on. Our final caller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I thought I had my hand raised. I watched your spring break plan presented a few weeks back, and it essentially is no different than the same plans that have been presented previously for the past 7 or 8 years, whether it be technology. The bottom line is the cost to taxpayers. To suggest that we're ever going to arrest our way out of this mess is ludicrous. Strict enforcement, zero tolerance are the same keywords, again, that we've been hearing for the past several years. It won't be until you guys address the party the zoning creates on the street that there'll be any improvement. And I just want to point out as an anecdote, in August through December of 2017, the special interest noise exemption, which exists on the 910 blocks of Ocean Drive, was removed, and immediately crime had plummeted 14%, according to the former police chief. And outside my home and business, vehicular noise ceased, the daily brawl ceased. And that is what you should be looking at. Before you can clean up the party on the street that is brought in here, you have to address the zoning. The zoning is the crux of our problem. Everything else, the bad behavior, the cheap nonsense stores, tattoo parlors, pizza parlors, t-shirt shops, it's all a byproduct of the treacherous zoning, in the incompatible and problematic zoning. And that's been my narrative for the past several years. And your refusal to address it is very clear. All has to do with the undue influence the business operators have over your better judgment on Ocean Drive. Thank you.
Commissioner Gongor, your hand is up.
Thank you, Chair. I do agree, actually, with Mitch Novick's comments about zoning and the proliferation of businesses that seem to attract a crowd that is not what we're looking for in the city of Miami Beach. I think this is happening in a lot of cities with entertainment districts. I hear about it in New Orleans, one example. But it is difficult when there's a proliferation of businesses that are kind of low-end markets and tattoo parlors. And, bars that are not standalone bars that are blaring music. And I think that we are addressing that presently in other committees through zoning. Going back to this one, I had one question and then a final comment for whoever would like to take it from the police. In the supplemental arrest data that you provided us, you said that there were 74 arrests. The main one seems to be 30 arrests of Miami Beach city ordinances. I was wondering if you could just highlight for us what those are. Is it more or less the same ordinance, or which city ordinances are being violated that are making up the bulk of the arrests?
Specifically, sir, it's open container, possession of open container of alcohol, and public consumption of marijuana.
Okay. Well, good. That goes into our zero tolerance message, that you can't come here and commit any crime, whether it's a small crime or a large crime. We need to crack down to send the message that we are not a place of lawlessness and that we are going to maintain this zero tolerance stance. Yes. With that said, I did want to say I spent a fair amount of time in the entertainment district, both on Friday evening. I went by the palace's anniversary. And Sunday, I went by the Rethink event that the city of Miami Beach did on Ocean Drive and continued to do a walk around. And I will tell you, I did see a lot more police officers than usual. So thank you and kudos. I did see a large number of police officers out. It's unfortunate we had that terrible incident with the 15 and 18-year-old that's been all over the news, because our plan was really in effect, but sometimes you can't control somebody who's going to come across the causeway from another city and violate the law. And I'm glad that the police did apprehend them very quickly. So thank you for that. I think that you were doing a good job. Let's keep it up. I believe that this item is bi-monthly now on crime, so we'll be coming back in April, which will be about the conclusion time of this ADCD spring break plan. So perhaps you can give us a summary of that and how you believe it worked and ideas for moving forward, as well as if any of my other colleagues have a specific area of interest they'd like to talk about in April, feel free to speak up now as well before we move on to the next item. Okay. All right. And that's Samuelin.
Thank you. This has been a good discussion. I think we are making some important steps moving forward. I had a separate referral that will be coming based on the SOBE safe technology resolution. So that will be coming to this body. And again, I think we have a lot of good things going on. I would just like to see that integrated holistic plan with key milestones and opportunities to accelerate. Look forward to that when item hits this committee. Thank you.
Madam Chair, if I could, just related to the question about traffic calming, they should reach out to our transportation department and the department head, Jose Gonzalez, and they're very adept at helping people through the traffic calming request process.
Okay. And also, I know there was a question regarding the hurricane procedures during if we have to experience a hurricane with the gates. That was brought up. I don't know. Sorry, Eric, did I cut you off?
Nope.
Oh, so I don't know if you wanted to respond to that.
The hurricanes, each hurricane is different. And so we address hurricanes based on the information that we have available at the time. And based on that information, if we feel like we need to open gates, close gates, or leave them in status quo, that's a decision that's usually made at the moment based on the needs of the situation.
Okay, thank you. So now we're going to move on to the next item, item number 4, discussion regarding pedestrian safety on the beach walk. I'd originally put this item on a while ago because the, my office received numerous complaints. We want to have a mobility and beach walk for both our bicyclists and our pedestrians. So this is to embrace both of those modes of transportation in a sense. But we were getting a lot of complaints that they were motorized vehicular, motorized bicycles, motorized mopeds as well on the beach walk, which are not allowed. And I know that Henry Stoller feels very strongly about this topic, and I'm going to give him the floor. I know he has been working with staff, and he has he gets 5 minutes to present because we are running back. I know he would like more, but I believe I was told he has 5 minutes today. So, Henry, the floor is yours.
Hey, all right. Am I coming through?
You are.
Good. Okay. We have had an explosion of motorized vehicles on the beach walk, and the issue before you is to consider what is the best signage that we could use to stop it. PJ, good morning. If you could put up the slideshow, please.
Absolutely. I'm bringing it up right now for you.
Thank you. We need effective signage to keep motorized vehicles off the beach walk. Next slide, please. This has been a critical issue and has grown more critical. The issue is what type of signage will be the most effective for giving fair notice to the public of the prohibition and giving police and code compliance a reasonable basis for issuing violations. Next slide, please. This has been a huge undertaking, decades of efforts, millions of dollars in construction costs, a major capital improvement, and it's really something to be immensely proud of, our beach walk. It's non-polluting, it's outdoors, it encourages exercise. We are very close to being done after all these years. These are the two remaining segments that will be done. 15, 16 months from now, they will both be done, and we will have a straight shot of 8 miles from the MacArthur Causeway up to the city limit at 87th Street. Next slide, please. we're part of the East Coast Greenway. This is a very, very big deal. You'll see these signs on our beach walk. Next slide, please. The East Coast Greenway is an extremely big deal. It is 3,000 miles of walking and biking route from Maine to Key West, crossing 15 states, connecting 450 communities. There is a huge not-for-profit in Durham that is the sponsor and the creator of all this. And the commitment from day one for 30 years has been non-motorized human transportation. And that's our city's position too. The beach walk is for bicycles, pedestrians, and other non-motorized means of transportation. Next slide, please. During the last year alone, $100 million was invested in the Greenway, and it had 10 million users. In Florida, we have 595 miles of designated Greenway. 251 miles have now been completed, equal to 42% of the total length. And we're going to be adding to that, as I noted, in the next 15 months, completing our portion of it. Next slide, please. Here's the problem. The entire objective of the beach walk and the Greenway are being seriously undermined by the presence of a steadily increasing number of motorized vehicles. Frank DelVecchio, taking unofficial minutes of a meeting, reported exploding number of motorized wheeled devices. And that's my observation. True also. And this is true. And that's why, Madam Chair, you put this before the commission in the first place and referred it to this committee. Next slide, please. Here's the history before this committee. And I've underscored here those items which have been the focus, and namely the connection between motorized vehicles and effective signage. And Sergeant Torres testified before you in a previous meeting, the signage must be effective to obtain compliance. And in a previous meeting, Commissioner Steinberg asked, no motorized vehicles, please enforce that and put appropriate signage in place. So the key is enforcement through effective signage. Next slide, please. The subject was heard again this past September. Vice Chair Minor recommended engagement with the community. Jose Gonzalez of the Transportation Department said in writing to me, we're happy to reopen the entire subject and walk the entire path with you. And what he did then was really quite incredible. He assigned his deputy director, Josiel Ferrer, to do exactly that. We spent, Josiel and I, 10 or 12 hours together. Next slide, please. Over a period of about four sessions for covering the entire 8 mile length. My testimony today about conditions on the beach walk is 100% based upon my own personal observation. I bike on the beach walk perhaps three times a week, either heading south from my home on 15th Street to the MacArthur Causeway and back, or heading north from my home on 15th Street to our 87th Street city limit and back. We are not living with a situation in which the number of violations is more or less constant. We are in a situation where the number of violations is consistently increasing. Next slide, please.
Mr. Stoller, yes. I'm sorry, but your time is up.
Holy cow. Okay.
I'll give you 1 minute to wrap it up.
All right. Then we better move ahead to the issue, which is what should the signs say? So if we could skip PJ, please, to, well, tell you what, let's move to the very last slide. And that would be 29. And I'm glad that Commissioners Christina circulated this to you yesterday, so you have the entire presentation. Here's what I recommend. And this is based upon what is already out there. A simple, clean, direct, unambiguous, non-artistic, but not offensive artistically sign which says, this is what's prohibited, this is what's allowed, and these are the code sections that govern, period. I strongly recommend against using a failed model, the model of the diamond-shaped signs on Lincoln Road. There are four of them at every single intersection on Lincoln Road. They've had 6 or 8 years to be tested. They have failed miserably. Too much art, too much effort to achieve voluntary compliance, and just instead of simply saying what is prohibited and what is allowed, period. This is a case where simple is better, and it also is fair to our people, both residents and visitors, many of whom are really committing these violations inadvertently because there's not adequate notice. Put these signs.
Mr. Stoller, my apologies, but your time is up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, we did have the PowerPoint emailed to us. It is going to be part of the after action of this item for the public who wishes to see the 29 slides, which I know you spent a lot of time and effort on, and I really appreciate. I am in agreement that our signs need to be simple and direct, and I appreciate the signs. I do see some hands up from the public. Does anybody from the virtual dais want to speak before I open it up to the public? Okay, seeing no hands on the virtual dais, we're going to do a quick see who we have. And okay, Lauren Lewis, you are on.
Hi there, sorry. Just another question back to Mr. Carpenter. I think he's the only one who answered my question regarding a policy closing the gates. I don't see any reason why they would ever be closed in case of an emergency. I feel like, you know, since the Titanic, we've learned not to close exits in a case of emergency. You have 300 plus residents on one side, however many on the other side. It seems counterintuitive and against common sense and safety. Can you tell me any reason that would warrant closing the gates in an emergency?
Thank you, Lauren. What we're going to have is I'll have Mr. Carpenter's office reach out to you directly so that you can have this conversation, because right now we are on the beach walk safety item and I want your questions answered. And it may not just be a simple response. And so I definitely, Eric, will you please make sure to get in touch with the callers directly so that you can discuss the issue?
Certainly.
Thank you so much. Mitch, you are our next caller.
Thank you again, Madam Chair. About a week ago, signs were introduced at South Point Park prohibiting the use of motorized vehicles along the walkway. I happen to think these signs are they're very effective. Although the initial installation was rather tall and unlevel, the city corrected it the following day. My concern has to do with those individuals who might have mobility impairments. If someone requires a motorized vehicle to transverse the community, of course, we wouldn't want those individuals to be subject to violation. And enforcement here is the key. I know not to skateboard or ride a scooter on Lincoln Road due to enforcement of by our fine men and women of the police department. Thank you again.
Mitch, you bring up a really good point. Correct, that this is not aimed for this is really aimed for those who are using the motorized for recreational and not because of any special needs. So thank you. That is a good distinction. And Tom, and I do agree on enforcement. Tom? Tom Hawkins, you are on.
Hi, thank you, Madam Chairman, for allowing me this time to speak. I think that what's happening on the boardwalk is symptomatic of a much larger problem, which I've written you all about in the past. I'm president of 300 Collins Condominium Association, and I believe this is a symptom of the unregulated rental of unorthodox vehicles, which have invaded our neighborhood south of Fifth Street. And so there are more and more coming into our community, not only the motorbikes, and the scooters, it's the golf carts and the slingshots and all these bugs. And there are more and more and more. And so I think what's happening is because there's been no focus on regulating these items, that they're now beginning to be seen on the beach walk. And I think these signs are going to be effective to some extent, but they won't be until the larger issue is focused on. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Jane. Jane Krupp.
Sorry, the unmute didn't come up. Totally agree with the last caller. Rental beach toys have to be banned, period. These are toys that people that drive these are not families looking for trouble. Get rid of them. We would save so much money on enforcement on the other end and cleaning up after them. Also, I'd like to just continue Mr. Stoller, 100,000% agree with him. I live a block away. Signage is a problem throughout the city, whether it's trucks, parking, whatever. Since closing Ocean Drive, the whole system has been upset, and there's all this defunct signage, and it has to go. We have to clean up the old signage, and I agree that the new signage for the beach walk particularly should be very simple with international symbols. We're in a multicultural land here. We have one sign that says yes and one sign that says no, and it's all international symbols. You can do this and you can't. No explanation. It has to be very graphic and very bold because people don't read. They know icons. So let's get up, you know, with the 21st century here and be international and make very simple signs that will be effective. Thank you.
Okay, seeing no other callers, we're bringing it back up. Any of my colleagues wish to comment on this item? Do we need to hear from transportation? Commissioner Vice Mayor Stephen Miner, your hand is up.
Sure, thank you. Good discussion. First of all, do we have a proposed sign following up on what Henry Stoller proposed? I haven't seen any proposed signs. Have we drafted that, or is that part that is that this discussion so we can sort of work on a design?
Vice Mayor, in the item itself, I don't know if it came in supplemental or not, but if you click on the item online, it does have an example of what the regulatory signs currently are.
Yeah, no, that I've seen.
And those are what have been placed. I think Mr. Stoller thinks they are not effective, and that's his issue.
Right, so that's my question. Do we have a design of what Mr. Stoller would be proposing?
I don't think we have a design of what Mr. Okay. Stoller is proposing.
I guess one suggestion also is, could we put something on the sign that would say that these regulations are going to be enforced by our police department, which they will be or are being. So that could be a further deterrent.
Right. Like add language that says, you know, strictly enforced.
Correct. You know, yeah. So we could have something. I remember seeing signs like this in Miami Beach where you'd actually have, I mean, it's in small letters, but you'd actually cite the criminal violation at issue. And so there's a statute attached to it. Not attached, but on the sign. It could be small, but, and then basically enforced by our police department. Mm-hmm. Just an added. So that would be one suggestion. Just a question for staff. Maybe this is wishful thinking, but since FDOT grant funding was instrumental in the beach walk, is there any component of grant funding for enforcement from FDOT?
Madam Mayor, I can answer that. I'm sorry, Madam Chair, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Good morning, Madam Chair, committee members, Jose Gonzalez, Transportation and Mobility Director. Vice Mayor, you are correct. The FDOT has contributed significantly towards the construction, actually the design and construction of most of our beach walk along the city. However, their funding usually is only applicable to design and construction, not to enforcement. There are grant programs out there And the city has, as a matter of fact, been successful in securing some of those grant funds from FDOT for enforcement. There's a program called High Visibility Enforcement, HVE, and our police department, I think on an annual basis, they apply and they've been very successful in securing those grants, which are geared to enforcement, not necessarily on the beach walk, but anywhere. They could be applied to sidewalks. They could be applied to enforcing pedestrian safety at crosswalks, also bicycle rules, those sorts of things. So we have in the past used FDOT funds for enforcement, yes.
Okay, and it sounds like from what you're saying, you're actively exploring that as well currently.
Yes, yes. Police typically runs point on that aspect of it. I will mention, if I may, Madam Chair, that this has really been a team effort. There are various departments involved in terms of the signage on the beach walk, not just my department, but parking, property management is installing the signs. Police helped design the signs. They've approved the signs that are included in the item. And a lot of the other thing I'll mention is a lot of the signs, I would say essentially all of them, I would defer to property management in terms of where they are in installation, but they are about complete. We really wanted these signs to be installed prior to spring break so that police can enforce. There was a significant concern with the lack of signage along the beach walk up until just, a month, a few weeks ago. And so police was having a challenging time enforcing the rules, specifically section 70-67 of the city code, because there was a lack of signage, not only along the beach walk itself, but at the entrance, the access points to the beach walk. So we worked, fairly quickly from the last time that we were before you and shared the signs with you. We, acted quickly to install as many signs as possible. I believe at this point they are all installed, both types of signs, the advisory signs, which are more friendly in nature, telling people to primarily bicyclists to yield to pedestrians, because there is a concern with bicyclists traveling very quickly on the beach walk. And then we also have, we've installed regulatory signs, which are the diamond shaped signs that are included in your package. And those do cite the applicable section of the code, 70-67, which is what police needed in order to enforce.
Right, Vice Mayor, any other questions or comments?
Yeah, I know a couple of residents reached out. I know we discussed this with the administration as well about street markers on the beach walk, so people know where they're, obviously for safety reasons, if they need to call the police, but also so they know where to go and don't get lost.
I agree. Yes.
We can certainly look into that. We have looked into pavement markings. Ideally, the beach walk would be delineated and there would be a space for bicyclists, a space for pedestrians. However, the beach walk is simply not wide enough. At many points, the beach walk width varies between 15 and 25 feet. and it varies throughout. It's not a continuous width throughout. So it's very difficult to achieve that delineation. And we did consult that with FDOT and found
Jose, I believe the vice mayor asking specifically about markers of what street number at certain points, so that like mile markers or destination numbers, so that if they ever are in need of help, they can easily call and identify where they're at. Otherwise, so that's what he would like addressed, if I'm not mistaken, Vice Mayor.
Correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We can take a look at that. I know the new section of the beach walk that's under construction, my understanding is it will have the street numbers, but the older sections that are already built do not have them. So we can look for ways of incorporating street numbers on the beach walk somehow.
Commissioner, if I could, I just did want to share that we're actually working with Environmental to add street markers to the beach, so east of the dunes, to signify where the streets are there. So perhaps while we're working on that, we can work on something that matches that, so it's similar in appearance.
That's great. Thank you. One other question, and actually, Jose, you did start touching on a question. I know we've discussed this, and I've raised this a number of times, and I think where you were going is that we don't have the width to make those separations with the bicycles. But I know I'm segueing, I guess, and speaking of segues, it's obviously all motorized vehicles, including segues, I think, where we're talking about. But I've also had complaints, and you started addressing, I know Chair Steinberg has raised this before, about bicycles sort of going very quickly, pedestrians don't feel safe. I actually have a neighbor on my floor in my building, several doors down, who was hit by a bicycle last year and broke her arm. So it's definitely a concern. And I guess whether there's something, whether it's an official marking where it's actually closed off, I get we can't do that from what I understand. But is there some way you could have some kind of path where people know, okay, this is where the bicycle goes and this is where the pedestrian goes, and we kind of keep it uniform there instead of bicycles weaving in and out?
That speaks to the delineation, Vice Mayor, that we have taken a look at, and you know, simply the width of the beach walk does not allow for that demarcation. Perhaps through signage, urging faster traffic, if you will, to be on the left, slower traffic on the right. That's an idea that we floated around as well. We're trying to be sensitive to sign clutter because, for example, another idea that was floated was the speed limit for bicycles. And then, you know, that would require not only a separate sign along the beach walk, but then there was the concern that a lot of people, when they're riding bike, they really don't know how fast they're going. Bicycles typically do not have speedometers. So it's a little bit, you know, we felt that the value of that sign would be very limited. And we're trying to be sensitive to sign clutter and only include, you know, the absolute necessary signs, both along the beach walk as well as at the entrance points.
Oh, sure. Just throwing out an idea. I mean, we haven't discussed this yet, but what about putting sort of a picture of a bicycle on the beach walk? I mean, it's not a sign. It's actually on the pavement, and just people would know. You put it every whatever, 100 feet, 200 feet, people know that that's where bicycles are supposed to go, just from the visual. Mm-hmm.
We can certainly take a look at that. I know that there have been, on the boardwalk, there were signs, those surface markings, similar to the ones that you're referring to. They were on the boardwalk, so that was wood. It was not the paver material. They did not fare very well. They did not last. They immediately, because of all the sand and all the activation along the beach walk and the boardwalk, those signs did not do very well. But we can revisit that to see if there's a possibility to place some of those surface markings sporadically along the beach walk. You know, maybe strategically locating them as to where we want the bicycles to to ride along. But it's a challenging, you know, the beach walk, as we often say, is a victim of its own success. It's just so activated with all types of, you know, people walking, jogging, walking their dog, strollers, the bicycles, the roller skaters. I mean, it's just so activated. It's a victim of its own success. But we'll definitely look at these suggestions. And I don't know if it may help to show, maybe for the benefit of the viewing public, to show the signs that we are installing or that practically have been installed. Would that help?
I have them, and I can quickly bring them up for you.
Please, Tanya, thank you.
Sure.
All right, so on the right is an image of what we call the regulatory sign, which basically has an image of all the modes which are prohibited by city code, and the reference to the city code is included at the bottom. You know, it clearly says pedestrian friendly zone at the top. We want to highlight the fact that pedestrians are our priority, and, you know, as well as pedestrian safety along the beach walk. And then they also say no motor or electric rides. We felt that was pretty self-explanatory. And then below that is the code section. That's the regulatory. And then beneath that sign are the two types of what we call community-friendly signs. They're advisory in nature. They're not regulatory. One says shared path, yield to pedestrians, and the other one slow down, yield to pedestrians. And that's meant for the, you know, the bicyclists, the roller skaters, rollerbladers that can travel pretty quickly along the beach walk, as well as even, you know, sometimes you have people running on the beach walk that are running pretty quickly. So that's just a reminder.
Yeah, no, thank, if I can, Chair. I would just ask, as I said earlier, if you can consult and work with the police department, if this body agrees, I think it would be great to have some kind of police logo on there, possibly even the statutory provision, something that shows that it's good to show that it's prohibited, but I'm not sure that sign is telling people what are the consequences for violating it.
Understood.
Commissioner Gongora,
I'll work with police on that.
I'm sorry, Vice Mayor, are you finished?
Yes, thank you, Chair.
Commissioner.
Okay, thank you. Excellent discussion. Actually, the beach walk is probably the amenity that I most personally use, because I live on Collins Avenue across the street from it. So I'm most familiar with the part that goes from the Fountain Blue up to about Altos del Mar, which is where I do my main walk, which may have different issues from what Henry is seeing down in South Beach. Overall, I'm seeing the conditions getting a little bit better. Originally during the pandemic, we were having more problems with motorized vehicles and bicyclists speeding, but I feel like it's a little more under control. What I don't see as much is I don't see as many city staff there walking the area. I think having personnel, regardless of who they may be, and I'm not quite sure who they were during the pandemic. Sometimes it was police. Sometimes I think it was lifeguards that weren't working the beach or other employees. But I think having a presence there generally leads to better behavior. So I think that is very important, number one. Number two, this item is focused on safety, but I'm going to throw into the twist cleanliness, because I think the upkeep has garbage, debris. There's somebody who has taken to doing graffiti on the sidewalk in the mid-beach area. I assume it's a young kid. It's some stupid message about, I love you, so-and-so, Nelly. I can't remember the name of the person that's loved, but it's written several times up and down the beach walk, and it's really quite annoying. We have to clean that up and make sure that people are not turning this into their own graffiti area to send love messages to their loved ones. So if we could also, as part of the safety, clean it up. And finally, I want to make sure that the signs that we do are the signs that the public wants. It's unclear to me, watching this item, if the signs that you presented coincide with the signs that Mr. Stoller said that he wants that are a little more strict and that the vice mayor just seemed to indicate. So we need some beefed up signs that send a message that this is against the law. You can't mess with the beach walk. So how can we do that?
Commissioner, I will work with police on that to see how to best incorporate that message in the signs that are out there. Maybe a supplemental plaque, for example. That's just an example, but I'll work with police on that.
Okay. I want to make sure that it's safe and that it's clean and that it's beautiful. It really is such a beautiful amenity. I can't wait to get it done. I was hopeful we were going to be done in February. I think the last LTC said June, but whatever the case, I want to get this completed. It is amazing. If anybody's watching this that isn't enjoying the beach walk, you really should be. It's a wonderful place to have a walk. especially in the evening around sunset. So let's clean it up. Let's make it safe. Let's put the signage. Let's let people know that we're all sharing this amenity together and do whatever it takes to keep it safe.
Thank you, Commissioner Samuel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I appreciate that the focus of this discussion has been on signage, and that's appropriate. I don't want to lose, though, what a couple residents brought forward, and that's about these unorthodox, exotic vehicles. And they are contributing to noise and problems on the beach walk and elsewhere. I think we've made progress on the scooters, but it seems like we've got other issues. We do have an item coming back to neighborhoods that I've referred. So hopefully some of these residents can again share their opinion on it. And I would just make a note. I know we've had at least some initial discussions where we may have some barriers to regulation. I hope we can address that. But some of these vehicles are being rented on Miami Beach. So I hope we'll take a hard look at that issue and look forward to that conversation. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Gongora, your hand is still up. I don't know if that's a holdover. Now, we did open this up for the public, and we already had public comments. So I don't want to necessarily reopen this, but I will give you each 1 minute because we do have to move on. We have quite a few more items. Henry, 1 minute.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to respond. Commissioner Minor, I did furnish to you, if you can bring it back up, PJ, page 29 of my presentation. This is the kind of clean, simple, direct signage that I am suggesting. I have added to it what everyone else has suggested, the international slash symbols, citation to our city code. PJ, any chance you can retrieve that?
He'll do that after. I just need to get through the callers, Henry.
Okay, and we can fine. See it. So it is there. I think it is.
There it is.
You are. Thank you, PJ. Okay. This tells the story. It's direct. It's simple. It's plain. It is based upon existing signage. It deals with the slash symbols. It has the code. We can even at the bottom, we can even enlarge that at the bottom by expanding it to include what the potential penalty is. But if we are using signs which say pedestrian friendly zone, we have already lost the public. That's not the way to get this particular point across. I don't think this is overly blunt, and it is very similar to signs that we've had before. We just haven't had nearly enough of them, and their placement has been inadequate.
Caller, thank you.
Thank you, Henry. Next caller, Robert. And thank you, PJ, for putting that up so quickly. Robert Anderson, 1 minute, because this is our second round of public comments now.
Yes, good morning. Thank you very much. I'm on the beach walk twice a day. Hello? I'm sorry about that. I'm on the beach walk twice a day with my dog. I ride the city bike there. And, you know, the thing I see the most common that are problems are the speed of bicyclists, of skaters. The other problem is the motorized vehicles. Tourists with selfie sticks going the wrong way. The signage can be, you know, I don't think it needs to be very difficult to do this. I think that we need to define the direction of traffic, what's the center line, and also, you know, this notion of what's allowed is much better than what's not allowed because it's unambiguous. I think that if we say bike, walk and roller skates only, it's pretty clear what's allowed, because I think if you have this list of things that are prohibited, then what's going to happen is it leaves it open to interpretation. The final thing I'd like to add is that, you know, I don't see very many police officers out there on a regular basis enforcing anything or asking people to slow down, ride on the right versus right, you know, one direction on the right versus one direction on the left. I think that would go a long way.
We appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, enforcement. We got it. T. Specter. T. Specter, you're on?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I wanted to comment. The beach walk is beautiful, and I'm definitely a walker. But besides the bikes and even things on the last screen that was shown, there are electric skateboards now.
and the speed at which they go can be really dangerous. But one other exception, and that is the streets and the sidewalks. Collins Avenue, any of the other side streets, 71st, 72nd, 73rd, all of them. People are riding bicycles on the street, on the sidewalks, rather, when there are actually marked areas on the roadway for cyclists. And I know I've been injured in a situation with a bicycle on the sidewalk. So I think that's something else that we should take care of. And I'm not talking about a child on a training bike. I am talking about an adult male riding his bicycle on the sidewalk.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you. Okay, so now we need to move on. I appreciate everybody's input on this. PD, I think you get the message. We need enforcement on those illegal modes of transportation that are not allowed on the beach walk. Yes, so I'll leave that to you to up that enforcement. Also, as far as the signage, you said that these signs have been installed and you wanted something up prior to spring break. At this point, if we want to revisit any signs, it's not going to be in the immediate. It's going to be something that you work on towards, you know, the next fiscal year, most likely. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I see the chief nodding. Yes. Chief, did you work with communications on these signs?
We did.
Okay. I think it's a lot of really good input. I think we can always strive to do better. Let's come back in. Let's wait. Maybe come back in May after the March-April situation. We'll have more data and feedback as to how we proceed forward in maybe tweaking signs or how enforcement was looking and whatever other feedback we can have. Does that sound okay? Yeah, okay. So we're going to move on. So we'll see this in May as an update on where we're at with the beach walk safety, because it is an amenity that everybody uses and we want everybody to enjoy it and be safe while they're enjoying it. And also, I look forward to that report. Henry Stoller, I just want to give you another shout out. I really, really appreciate your hard work on this. And if we need to simplify the signs or if we need to change it, we will work together next fiscal year to possibly do that. And I want you to keep it up because you're wonderful and you bring a lot of good perspective. And I appreciate all the callers today on this item. It's an important one. We're going to move on now to the next item, which is item number 5, Special Master Administrative Rules and Procedures. This is about amending that so that it ensures that certain code violations, such as life safety or habitual property violations, are prioritized on the Special Master calendar and are set for hearing on a priority basis without undue delay. Thank you for joining us, City Clerk Granado. It's wonderful to see you in our neighborhoods meeting. Who is going to tee us up?
Can I tee it up, Chair?
Yes, please.
And I've worked with Rafael on this as well. But really, this came out from, we have habitual code offenders and violators. And these are really for sort of life safety matters that just are not being heard in a timely manner. And it's really critical that if we're going to do proper enforcement, that our code violations are quickly enforced. And really what's happened is there's some gamesmanship by violators and their representatives in delaying these matters. And really this item that I brought was to create a mechanism where the special master would have to hear certain matters faster. And I think, and I'll let Rafael talk, but I think, and I've worked with legal as well and Alec Boxner, I think really what we could do here is identify with code just a handful, 4 or 5 items, because if we make it too large, then it's going to kind of it's going to swallow itself. We have to be very specific on what we want expedited, what code violations that we want expedited. And if we work together, we can come up and make a recommendation and work with the special master, who can then ideally issue an administrative order to require this and proceed that way. But I'll open it up to either Alec or Rafael.
Rafael, do you want me to talk or do you?
Go ahead, Alec. Go ahead.
Yeah, and just to reaffirm what Vice Mayor Minor ultimately said, You know, we are looking to identify four or five specific violations, quality of life offenses, something that code ultimately deems is probably the ones that need to be attacked the most. We do find that there is a bit of gamemanship, as the vice mayor has stated. There are attempts by those that represent violators to continue the matters, to delay them. And the code enforcement process was never really meant for that purpose. It was really meant to ensure that there is a speedy correction of code violations. And so I think our intent and Vice Mayor's intent is to identify which ones are the important ones, the ones that we really need to focus our attention to, the one that we need to ensure that there aren't any unnecessarily delays, and then to streamline the process. I know that we have some of that already in place. This will be just a mechanism by way of which we would affirmatively get the Chief Special Master to issue an order that will kind of set that out. And that's something that we would explore with the Chief Special Master in order to accomplish that endeavor. And I think with that, I think it'd be good to have this matter brought back for the next neighborhoods meeting, with the hope that we have that order issued by the Chief Special Master that will identify those specific violations. And then, Rafael, I don't know if you wanted to add or say anything to that as well.
I just want to confirm that we could implement this immediately upon receipt.
Perfect.
Does anybody from the public wish to speak on this item? Seeing no hands, moving it back up. All right, so, Bruce Backman. You're...
Great. Sorry. Thank you. I just wanted to commend Commissioner Minor for bringing this forward. This would certainly help a great deal in speeding issues through the special master process to name some violations. I think your end solution, though, is to remove a lot of these issues from the special master process and also to remove COP oversight for many of these issues from the planning board, which has been very unsympathetic in the past to many of these continued, particularly noise violations and other things. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right. So, Vice Mayor?
Yeah, I think as Alex said, we have some concrete steps, speaking with code, identifying the four or five most significant code violations that are really quality, high level quality of life issues, then going to the the special master to try to get an administrative order, and then come back to neighborhoods next month. And hopefully we'll have something to approve and send with a favorable recommendation to commission.
Okay. Sounds good. We'll move on to the next item. Looking forward to that. Item number six. There's an item that has been pulled for deferral by administration, and that is item number 7, which is holiday lighting, I guess, year-round. And that item is item number 7, and it has been deferred. So now, item number 6, improve lighting in South Beaches, residential commercial areas, as well as South Point and Loomis. Who's presenting?
So again, if I could just tee it up quickly.
Yes.
I think Roy Coley will be speaking about this, but again, talking about lighting on it, and I'm sponsoring this, and thank you, Commissioner Gongora, co-sponsoring with me as well. Lighting's so important. We talk about it a lot for a number of reasons. Economic growth, it's aesthetically pleasing, crime reduction, and we've had a number of discussions about different areas of lighting. But I'll turn it over to Roy, because actually there's sort of an update. There's $10 million in the GEO bond that we're going to allocate to lighting. And I know Roy and his staff has a meeting with Johnson Controls tomorrow to discuss specific areas that we can improve lighting. It's actually more than just South Beach. I guess initially I had hoped to discuss literally specific points in South Beach to address this, whether it be the parks, Loomis Park and South Point. Certain residential areas. And we can still do that, but I think based on this sort of geo bond and conversations with Johnson Controls, I'm not sure if this is the right moment to discuss specific streets. I will also add, and I know Commissioner Gongora has the item, I think I'm co-sponsoring on the Collins Avenue lighting along 24th to 46th with lighting on palm trees. So, but I'll turn it over to Roy. We can go from there.
Roy, just give us, I guess, where we're at now, because I know as a commission, we voted to enhance lighting throughout the city. So that has been an initiative of the city for quite some time in the recent history. So where we're at, and I guess address specifically what Vice Mayor Minor would like to discuss so that we can have some direction that we can move forward with. And is this an action item today or a discussion item to give us a Vice Mayor, to give us a sense of where we're at?
I'm just prepared to give you an update of where we are. I'm not sure if Vice Mayor Minor was asking for an action or not. I'll leave that up to him.
Okay.
Just to give everyone a brief update on how we got to where we are. As you might remember, we performed a citywide photometric analysis a few years ago. And what a photometric analysis did for us was it gave us a scientific way to know the areas of this city, street by street, whether they were underlit, overlit, or appropriately lit. That deliverable was given to us, and we have it. If you happen to want to see it while we're talking, I can put it on the screen. And then we went out for a RFQ, and we selected an expert partner, which is Johnson Controls, to help us with a smart city street lighting initiative. Their first task is complete, and what Johnson Controls did for us, they started out by developing a true inventory of the lighting the city owns. The city owns about 9,000 light fixtures, and they inventoried them, geocoded them. We truly know exactly what we own and what it is that's in the streets. That's the first thing. The second thing Johnson Controls did for us was led developing a citywide lighting standard. They met neighborhood by neighborhood throughout the city, listening to all of the different viewpoints of our community, discuss lighting color, lighting intensity, the environmental pros and cons of lighting, and recommended to the commission a lighting standard in which the commission has adopted. So we have a lighting standard. Now, the next task was originally intended for them to design a citywide smart city street lighting system. When this first came to the our ideas, we looked at this at about a $50 million citywide plan. $10 million was included in the geo bond for this. What we have determined is it's highly unlikely we will have the other $40 million in the near future. So our interim city manager, Raul Aguilar, our assistant city managers, Alina Hudak, Eric Carpenter, myself, and other staff members, Geo Bond staff, Maria, we've all been meeting about what is the best way to manage this $10 million and what do we do with Johnson Controls? Do we allow them to develop a citywide plan that we're not sure we can afford to build? So Commissioner Miner's right. I had updated him. I'm meeting with Johnson Controls tomorrow at the city manager's request to get their recommendations on how best to utilize the $10 million geo bond fund and not waste money designing something if we don't think we're going to be able to build it in the near term, and then return to the city commission with that recommendation. We know what parts of our city are underlit. Quite frankly, Mid Beach has the most underlit areas of anywhere in the city. And what we want to do is take the photometric analysis and see how to best use the $10 million, see what the result might be, and then come to the commission for your direction. You are muted, Commissioner.
Thank you so much. Commissioner Samuelson, your hand is up.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you to Commissioner Minor and Gongor for putting this item forward. Again, we seem to have productive parallel conversations going on because lighting was discussed at finance, and specifically that we are going to look for some incremental resources for public safety, staffing, technology, and at finance we also requested a fast track for high impact lighting. I think this is something our community, the administration, MBPD has some alignment on. I believe this body does, that we need to get lighting on the field as quickly as possible. MBPD talked about Collins Avenue right now, and we have heard request for Loomis Park. So I just thought I'd bring it up. I support this item. I support that we have a long-term vision, but I especially want to dial up these hot spots that are calling out. And my expectation is when we see this at commission, that we'll have some ideas and plans to address these hot areas. And again, MPPD specifically mentioned Collins. Thank you, Madam.
Just for clarification, the entire stretch of Collins or Collins in the South Beach area?
What MVPD spoke about was in the South Beach area, sort of circa 5th to 50.
Okay, thank you so much. Commissioner Gongora.
Thank you. Yes, I'm happy to co-sponsor this item with Minor. I think it's wonderful how we're working to light up the area. It is very important for public safety as well as beautification of the city as well. So I think we need to figure out what we can afford and move forward and implement those plans as quickly as possible. With regard to the item that got deferred, number 7, which I was okay with, when it comes back, I want to change it because it currently reads discussion regarding 2021 holiday lighting, because that's where the conversation started. But in fact, the item is not about holiday lighting. It is about permanent installation of lighting on the Collins Corridor and Mid Beach between 46th and 64th on the palm trees and what the cost would be to do that. So I'd like the item to be retitled and to reflect me as a sponsor when it comes back next month. I think that having all of these lighting discussions holistically are very important. Clearly, they're going to have to be part of the budget process this summer to see what we can afford or not afford. But I want to make sure that they move forward and don't get lost in the shuffle.
Okay, I'll reserve my comments for next month when we discuss that specific item. Roy Colby.
Yeah, could I respond to a couple of things that was mentioned? First of all, the Collins Avenue. I'm happy to share with you that we've been working with the State Department of Transportation. They own the lights on Collins. Those aren't city lights. And they have got a project underway that they have reported to us to be they will be complete in June of upgrading the lighting throughout South Beach on 5th. So we're going to be really excited to see how that turns out. And then we can evaluate it and determine if there are any additional needs there. Just a quick reminder on Loomis Park. As you all may remember, we changed out all of the existing lights in Loomis Park to the appropriate color and light intensity that we could. And any additional lighting out there will require a state permit. And everyone needs to be mindful that the current request from the state is we reduce our lighting levels there. And I think we all have to be realistic and know that to turn around and say, let's add more light there is going to be a very big challenge and not likely to be approved because of being too close to the sand and too close to potential turtle nesting sites. And that what we have there now is actually brighter and better than some of our neighboring communities who have already been convinced by the environmental regulators to turn their lights down and even off. So, We want to do all we can in Loomis Park, but it would not be fair for me to stand here and let you expect there's going to be major light increases in Loomis Park in any near future.
Thank you, Vice Mayor.
Yeah, and thank you for that, Roy. One question regarding the state restrictions in Loomis and South Point Parks. Is there a way that we can distinguish part of the park? Meaning, do the restrictions apply to the entire park or only to the portions that are closer to the sand?
The way the restrictions are imposed on us is if from the sand, the enforcement officers can see the light or the light glow, it is determined that it can disorient protected species and therefore needs to be reduced. They have actually requested not only us, city-owned lights, to reduce lights. They have actually requested private business turn their lights off, turn them down, change the colors to amber or red that do not disorient the turtles. However, we have pushed back because the police have made clear to us amber and red lights is a big disadvantage for them in crime enforcement. And so they need the white lights where they can see colors of people's clothes and hair and all the different things to identify criminals. And so I think what you will find going forward is the state enforcement officials continue to want less light if they can see it, which includes glow in the sky, not just seeing the bulb. And that's some of the issues we've had when we replaced all of the lights in Ocean Court and Collins Court. And even though all those lights, you can't see the bulbs themselves from the sand, they have made the argument that they created more light glow and that we should not have done some of that. So I know the chief's been in the middle of this so many times, where and the chief staff with the state wildlife officials, Betsy with environmentals helped us with it, and it's just a constant back and forth with them. But we are obligated to get permits from them if we're east of the construction control line or the erosion control line, which all of Loomis Park is, and a big portion of South Point on the east side is. And I just think you're going to learn that getting that permit is going to be a long process and maybe not even achievable.
And okay. I see the Sustainability Environmental Director, Elizabeth Wheaton, has her hands up. Can someone move her to the panel? And we're going to, okay, Elizabeth, Betsy, I see your hands up.
I just wanted to let you know that I'm here and I can answer any questions as it relates to sea turtles and the FDP, Florida Department of Environmental Protection, and Florida Fish and Wildlife and Conservation Commission, what their requirements are related to the protection of sea turtles, as well as how that relates to lights and our ability to add additional lights, both white and amber.
Thank you so much.
So if I could just, Chair, if I could just ask a follow-up question, and maybe this is, it's either for Elizabeth or Roy, whoever is most appropriate. But I guess, for example, in Loomis Park, there is the tree lighting that almost came down, but I guess we had till April 1st to keep it up. I guess my question is there possible, or are there certain portions of the park where that type of lighting can stay up without running afoul of the FDP regulations?
Unfortunately, the string lights are not permitted by the Florida Fish and Wildlife. We did ask them formally if they could provide us a determination on that, because we had heard that other municipalities in Florida had been able to use those string lights. They did inform us that they have not permitted that in any other area. We also asked if we could switch the lights to an amber and if that would be permitted. And again, based on our conversations, that is not something that would be allowable during turtle nesting season.
But is it only if the light glow actually reaches certain portions? Meaning if we could show that the light portions didn't reach the restricted areas, could we then do it?
Unfortunately, that's not the way that the regulators look at lighting. They are looking at all lighting east of the coastal construction control line. And for Ocean Drive, the coastal construction control line is actually on the western side of the street, as well as potentially being visible. So the potential that, for example, a storm could come through, the dunes were leveled, they're looking at it from that perspective. So they're very strict when it comes to what they will and will not allow.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Samuelin.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you to Roy and Betsy. I recognize the regulatory issues that we are dealing with. But just sort of following up on Commissioner Miner's sort of line of discussion, he was sort of going down there, are there places we could do it? I guess I want to come back to timing. Let's assume for the time being, it's a bit of a lift and I hear it loud and clear during the turtle nesting season. Do we have the plans in place for the non-turtle season to have all the lighting that we want, including, Betsy, that wrap lighting you're talking about? So for the season that is not turtle, are we set to have the lighting that ODA has been requesting and to have those wraps the rest of the year?
Well, what we've experienced, Commissioner, is resistance to permit anything for in-season versus out-of-season. They have not objected strongly to temporary lighting for holiday purposes as labeled as such, but to say we're going to have one standard of lighting for non-turtle season and one during turtle season, To date, they have not been willing to approve us a dual standard unless Betsy knows differently. That's the last information I received.
Yeah, it seems that that is it. She's shaking her head. Anything else, Commissioner Samulin?
One of the things we wanted to, that we've been looking to do with the state is there's some dual fixtures that have both amber and white light LEDs that you can switch on and off that would provide us more flexibility. So we have, we've done a pilot in Loomis as well as down on 3rd Street, and we are awaiting feedback from FWC if this type of fixture could be allowable in the future for future projects.
Thank you so much, Betsy. I appreciate that. All right, without seeing any other hands, we're going to move on to the next item, which is the, and thank you for the update, Roy. Roy, you may have to stay because
Chair, just a quick, is this coming back to neighbors? I mean, I know we do want to fast track this, but I'm not sure we're ready to put this commission. Are we coming back to neighborhoods next month?
I wasn't thinking that we would. I was thinking this is a discussion item. That's why I asked specifically, was there an action we needed to take or not? If it's just if it's to give us an update of where you're at after Johnson & Johnson's meeting, I'm happy to absolutely hear directionally if you have other recommendations. I mean, I know this is your item, so let me know what you'd like to do with it.
I'd say let's put it on for next month, neighborhoods. We could always defer it if necessary, or could we put on commission calendar if we're ready, if we put it on for neighborhoods next month?
Well, what is it that you want to do exactly with this item so that we can have direction for staff?
Well, I think as Commissioner Samulin said, if we're ready with a plan, and I maybe Roy can better address whether we are after his meeting with Johnson Controls tomorrow, but there is a meeting tomorrow to sort of map out a game plan. And I'd hate to wait in implementing that game plan if we're ready.
Well, you're right, Vice Mayor. We do have that meeting set for tomorrow. I'm happy to have the item on the agenda. And then if there's an update to provide, provide it. If it's not ready by the next meeting, then we simply could defer it if you like. I know we meet with them tomorrow. They're going to need a little bit of time to work and develop their recommendations. And so it may or may not be ready for next meeting.
And I want to be cognizant that March is a very crazy time. So maybe we should just have it on the April, if that's okay with you, Vice Mayor.
That's fine, as long as it sounds like that's not going to hold anything up. I'd hate to hold up anything if we're able to fast track, but we'll put it off for April for now.
Just for clarification, because we as a city have already put forward, like we have a plan. And they're just needing to bring it back, I guess. I don't even think, does the commission need to ratify any other plan moving forward or at budget time to prioritize? Is that what this is about? So Vice Mayor wants to make sure we're prioritizing correctly?
We would have to come back to the commission because, as you remember, when Johnson Controls was authorized, only the first half of their task was authorized with the specific requirement. It comes back to commission for approval for their next step. So we have to develop what we're going to recommend to the commission as a whole for approval, and then commission will have to approve it.
Then let's have it. Let's try to aim for March then in that sense. So and then if we can't and you're not ready, then we'll do it in April. But yes, yeah, so I understand and appreciate Vice Mayor wanting it kind of massaged here first at neighborhoods before it's recommended to the full body. Understood. Thank you so much. The next item is the fiber optic internet connectivity in Miami Beach. This has actually been discussed before. Who's teeing it away? Vice Mayor?
Yeah, again, I'll turn it over to staff, but some residents reached out to me. It is faster and cheaper, and it my understanding from my reading, it goes 70% at the speed of light, which is incredible. I guess the question is, how do we best move forward on this? And I'll turn it over to staff to give a little input.
Well, what I can share with you all is we in Public Works have been meeting with the fiber optics and broadband providers. As you know, for a long time, we only had one provider in town, Atlantic Broadband, but now we have a number of providers. Actually had a meeting with them all on Monday, and we had representatives from Crown Castle, Comcast, AT&T, Hotwire, and Atlantic Broadband. And what we ask those providers to do is to provide to us the areas and what services they're able to give the residents in those areas if they would individually give them to us, and then we will place those on one single map, a graphic where you can see what's currently available. Up until now, they've been very reluctant for their own business reasons to share with each other what they offer where and what their abilities where are. Our staff had been trying to develop this map and having a hard time getting the data. After I met with the representatives from Amal yesterday and explained the reason that we want to show our residents what they can have, and then quite frankly, that would identify for all of us if there's any places that service isn't available for us to address, they've agreed to do that. So we expect to have that information in the coming weeks from each of those providers. And then we can share that map with you and report back to you what's available throughout. Now, one of the biggest problems that we face in public works when people call us with these internet connectivity challenges is they're like me. They live in a condominium, and my condominium association is contracted with one single provider, and I don't have the ability to use another provider service, even if it's available on the street. That's a private property issue, and when we explain that to people, some people find that to be challenging to understand, but that is our realities. And I think when we get the map and we can share with everyone in town, there may be five services on the street in front of you, and the reason why you only have one company's available to you is not a matter of city business, it's a matter of your private community association's business. And maybe just getting that information out there will get this moving.
Yep. Vice Mayor?
Yeah, no, I agree. That map would be helpful, and we can publicize this to our residents. That would be extremely useful. I think part of the problem is they don't know where to turn right now, other than reaching out to us. So I think publicizing the information once you have it ready would be fantastic.
We'll do that, and we'll bring it back and share it with each of you. We'll make it public. We've had a really hard time getting it. And then in the meeting Monday, I shared with all the providers that it had risen to the level of our elected officials' concerns, and that we wanted this information for these purposes. And so they've relented and have agreed to provide it. So I think we're on a good path, finally.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Good. Sounds great. We're going to move on to the next item. And the next item that we have is the item number 9, discussion regarding the garage advertising agreement. Who's presenting?
Hi, Commissioner. I will tee that up and give a little bit of some background on it. So the city has a contract with Alchemy for the parking garage advertising that you see inside the parking garage and at the entrance to the parking garages. The contract actually expires at the end of this month with an optional one-year renewal by the city. With the contract, we receive $250,000 annually, paid monthly at $20,833. On March 24th, we did extend a letter to Alchemy suspending and tolling their contract due to the pandemic. Since we closed the garages, we agreed with them that it was not fair or accurate to remain intact, being as that nobody was using the garages. On October 1st, we reopened the garages. So they did receive a letter on October 26th stating that they needed to resume their payments because the garages had opened. Shortly after they received the letter, they signified via multiple meetings with us that they were not necessarily interested in moving forward with the contracts with the terms the way that it was, because it didn't necessarily meet their business needs or business model anymore. I will also point out that while the contract was tolled, the savings to Alchemy, I believe, was around $125,000 to them during this time. So shortly after they asked to talk to us about possibly modifying the contract or changing it moving forward, we met with them. We did give them some options, similar to something that we've done with some other contracts. We offered to let them leave the hardware. And based on the value of the hardware, they could deduct that from the amount that they owe us. I will point out that they have not made any payments since we reinstated the contract in October. They're currently in default and owe the city around $100,000 that we have not seen yet. We did want to, resolve this amicably. They have given a option of completely modifying the financial terms to the contract going forward. The city has rejected that, and we don't recommend moving forward with that option. So that, I believe, is all of the information up to date on this.
Commissioner Gongora.
I'm happy to hear from the public, so I'll make my comments after.
All righty. Let's see who we have here. All right. First caller is Rafael Andrade. Hello, can you hear us?
Yeah, we go. You hear me?
Yeah.
Good morning, Commissioner Steinberg and Commissioners Gongora and Miner. I represent Alchemy. I agree with everything that Tanya stated. What we're looking for here is really the same treatment that other vendors have received. And for example, last month, the commission agreed to restructure the valet agreement, which was of similar value in terms of payments to the city, from a fixed payment amount to a strictly revenue share type of agreement. And I believe the city did something similar with the Clear Channel contract. The reality is that the ad dollars of this contract are driven by the usage of the parking garages. And comparing January to January, January 2020 pre-COVID and to January 21 during COVID, the parking utilization is down 37%. So yes, while the parking garages are open, the usage of the garages, which is what drives the value of the ads, and our ability to sell ads, it still remains significantly depressed, nearly 40%. So we would like to have the city exercise the one-year renewal and simply modify the financial terms to reflect a rev share agreement versus a fixed payment agreement. And we'd also, consider doing some type of minimum monthly payment guarantee to the city, given the vagaries of the situation and COVID.
Caller, we appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Okay. Hughes, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce Mr. Morcillo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm the founder of and manager of City Media Advertising, which is the subcontractor of Alchemy Media in this contract with the city. First of all, very quickly, as a resident of Miami Beach, I would like to say a few words. My family has been living around 41st Street for several years now. I would like to take this opportunity to thank you on behalf of my family and to express my gratitude to both commissioners and staff members. The tremendous work you have done for safety or health comfort of life during this difficult pandemic. And I know you had to make some difficult choices so we can continue to live your life as normal as possible. So we may agree or disagree with some decisions, but above all consideration, I'm very appreciative for the hard work and the commitment you have demonstrated to our residents. As for the business, I'm managing the signs inside the municipal parking garages, at the elevators, for instance, along the driveway. Our advertisers are many local businesses, realtors, lawyers, restaurants, body shops, aircrafts, events, you name it. After 2 years and a half of a normal course of the contract, we have built a good and long-term relationship with many of these local businesses. Indeed, we offer them an affordable and efficient way to advertise in Miami Beach, where advertising media opportunities and legal ones are strictly limited. And usually our contracts with advertisers go from 6 months to over a year. COVID came up and many of these local businesses either couldn't stand it or survive, while others have been trying to stay alive by restructuring their operation, by allocating their resources to the most urgent needs. Honestly, it has been our case. We are proud of these local businesses who suffered from COVID. We have been struggling because it's difficult to sell media and advertising while the eyeballs from the parking garage are either disappeared, which was the case when parking garages were closed to the public, are dramatically decreased because visitors and tourists are gone and discouraged to come over. We are still in the middle of the crisis. We don't know how long it will take to fully recover and get to the other side safely. But what I know is that
this... Thank you for your call, caller. Thank you.
Just for a second.
Chair, I think you're muted.
Sorry, this has been some warning. Commissioner Gongora, yes, your hand is up.
All right, I had to unmute. Okay, I have a couple of questions about this item. First of all, before the pandemic, did we have any difficulties or problems with this vendor Alchemy that was doing the garage advertising?
The difficulties that I would say are there was a lot of ads.
Now I can't hear Tanya. I don't know if it's just me. Oh.
Can you hear me?
It's just you. I can hear you.
Oh. So should I continue, Commissioner? Can you hear me at all?
I can't hear anyone. It's probably me. I'm going to try changing my AirPods.
I don't think I should continue my response until he can hear me.
Yes, let's wait. Commissioner, can you hear us? You're on mute. Mute. Okay, well, he's having his technical... Commissioner, can you hear us? I don't think he can hear us, so... while he's having technical difficulties...
Can you hear again?
You're having issues, Commissioner Gongora. We cannot hear you, and your screen is frozen. We can't hear you. All right. I'm not sure what's happening on your end. You're having technical difficulties. So let's do this because he needs to participate. This is his item and he brought it forward. Why don't we just pause this item for a moment and maybe take the next, our last item, and then come back to that one because that's also a communications item, I believe. And since you're teed up, is that okay with everybody? Because I want to make sure Commissioner Gongora has the ability to participate on his item. Is that okay, Vice Mayor? Are you okay with that? Okay.
Yeah, sounds good.
We're going to go into item 10 just until he gets his earbuds or whatever they're called fixed.
Yeah, so I'll tee this up. This is the strategic marketing plan for 2021 and new normal. So yeah, I mean we do a lot of things well with our promotions, and I really just want to create a discussion and maybe sort of enhance our promotions of we have so many exciting things that go on in our city literally on an everyday basis. Our museums, our cultural centers, events that are happening, and I just think we can really do a good job of promoting it. And part of this came out, actually, I was kind of noticing how when Lincoln Road was doing all their activities with Miami New Drama and all that, I mean, they were really pumping out the media. I would say it was a blitz, and they were getting national attention for some of the events that were happening on Lincoln Road. And it was written about in not only local South Florida papers, but in national media. And I think there's so many good things that we have going on that I kind of like to see that blitz occur as well, whether it be on Instagram. We have a beautiful Instagram, but we don't post every day on Instagram. It looks to me it's, you know, maybe weekly. And I just feel like we can do a lot of things. And maybe this sort of interplays a little bit. I'm thinking more of a marketing, and partly it goes into maybe Chair Steinberg's item with the website. This is a few months ago, so I apologize if it's been updated, but I noticed like we have a link to GMBBC when we talk about different items. I feel like we could do so much to promote ourselves without referring to another website, which is fine too. That they do a lot as well to promote us. But anyway, that's sort of my point. I thought it would be helpful to start the discussion, and maybe we can work together with Tanya and sort of have that sort of media blitz to promote our brand and everything that we're doing. Sort of like we did with Rethink, like the Rethink Miami Beach. That was great. We got that out there. We got the message across. I think people saw it, but there's so many other things going on in our city that are fabulous.
So just for clarification, I didn't know what the item was going to be about because it was just like a general strategic marketing plan, right? Discussion. So were you meaning like just promotion, like in-house promotion of what is currently occurring that you want to focus on?
Well, I think it's really opening up a discussion of really what best ways. I mean, I think we do it pretty well in-house, whether it calls for hiring a marketing firm as well to do some of that promotion. And really, I'm opening up to any and all possibilities.
Okay, so Tanya, take it away.
Vice Mayor, I think that this ties nicely into the discussions that have been going on about rebranding the city and doing some promotions. I know you mentioned the GMCBB, and we do have a great relationship with them, and they do all of our tourism marketing and national and international marketing for the destination. We also have our friends at the VCA who do some promotions through the Hill and Knowlton partnership. And then you're right, we do all of the local marketing and advertising. We do venture into a lot of national and international, like what we're doing right now for spring break and when there's allotted funding for it. I can tell you Lincoln Road has done an amazing job, and we definitely partner with them and follow them and help to share and promote everything that they're doing. And we do that with any of our partners in the city. And I agree, we have a lot of amazing things that are going on. And, you know, we do, you know, whenever there's a marketing budget, we'll definitely reach out and do like paid advertising. As far as our Instagram goes, she's pretty strategic with it. I can tell you she does post every day on Instagram stories. There is something there every day, multiple times a day. That's kind of when you're using Instagram, that's kind of how you want to do Instagram. And you reserve the single posts for, you know, the beautiful photos. Really, that's what people like to see on Instagram. So she really saves it for those. We use Facebook and Twitter a lot for the daily posts. And, you know, she is very strategic and knows what people like to see on each of those platforms. So she does use those really well. I've actually seen them grow quite a bit, and our followers and everything on those. So, you know, we can definitely talk to the GMCBB, and we can make sure we're keeping in touch with Lincoln Road and all of our partners like that. And we do work with tourism and culture and make sure that whenever they have events, you know, like with Rethink and everything, we are doing marketing and promoting all of that stuff. When we get to the website item, we can definitely talk about, you know, what we think is appropriate. I know that has been linked for a very long time. That was prior to me ever becoming, I think, a city employee, and I've been here for 8 years. So, you know, maybe it is time to rethink, you know, how things are done on there and maybe refresh that. So, you know, very good points and valid. And I agree with you.
Okay, great. I'll leave it to the chair if there's anybody else who wants to speak. But yeah, I'd love to. I know we started a little bit of a dialogue, Tanya, and maybe we can continue that and schedule a meeting. That would be great. And by the way, when I looked at the Instagram, you're right. I did not notice, because I don't think the stories are saved. So when you go through it, you sort of see that it's not. But so thank you for clarifying that.
Sure, no problem.
Look how hip you all are with your Instagram. I guess at some point I'll have to increase one. No. Commissioner Gongora.
Yeah, primarily I just want to see if you can hear me. I'm now on through my cell phone.
Okay, good. So essentially, Vice Mayor will be meeting with Tanya offline. And then maybe we can expand the website discussion to include this topic or bring it back separately. That's fine. So when do you anticipate? I believe my item will be on next month, so we can bring this next month. Is that cool? All
right. Yeah,
so our final item, we are revisiting now, item number 9, now that we can hear you and you can hear us, Commissioner. Item number 9 regarding the advertising in the parking garage, and also address why it's here and not at finance, because I know it's like let us know where you're at.
Sure. Well, a couple of things. It's here, so we're dealing with it. We got a supplemental late yesterday, so I wish I would have had that sooner because it would have given me more time to consider the item. I thought it was going to be a discussion item, but instead it came back with a recommendation. As I understand it, there's a contractor that was doing garage advertising that was generally going well until the pandemic. The city made some concessions during the pandemic and now wishes to terminate the agreement because it's not bringing on the same level of funding that it did before. I do believe that we have made concessions for other vendors and contractors that have had relationships with the city that were in similar problems. They've brought back a specific counter proposal with terms. I'm not sure if those terms are good or bad. They may be good. I'm not sure how much our parking usage is down as a result of the pandemic. I did hear that it's down approximately 40%. I know that we're hearing that parking revenues are down, so I'm assuming that therefore the advertising would similarly be down with it. So I don't think it would be unheard of to work a lesser deal. I'm so sorry. This is why I don't like appearing on my phone, because I get calls literally every 3 minutes. And I find it very disconcerting. Calls and texts. Nobody who's watching, call or text me now. So I don't feel ready to deal with this today. But what I would like my colleagues to consider is sending this to the commission so that the staff can fully work out why it is they're recommending that the counteroffer be rejected, number one. Number two, so that the vendor, Alchemy, can fully set forth the offer that it believes would be its best and final offer to continue the relationship with the city. I'm not in favor of generally terminating agreements with vendors that business is down as a result of the pandemic. We've sponsored a number of programs to help businesses and help residents get through this difficult time. So I think it sends the wrong message. I'm not sure if I agree with the city or not. I may, but I'm not prepared to support the city's recommendation or Alchemy's proposal. So my preferred action on this item would be to send it to the full commission and have both sides flesh out what it is they want us to do.
Commissioner Samuel, your hand is up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a question for Tanya. Tanya, if we were to proceed with this recommendation, what would be the next steps as it relates to garage advertising? Would it be a competitive solicitation? Are we going to have some plans in place to sort of meet this need and the financials involved?
Yes, Commissioner. So what we would do essentially is go back out to bid and see what options are out there. You know, we also have our partners at Spectra. You know, we could consider, you know, possibly, you know, rolling it into their contract. You know, there's a lot of different possibilities and things that we could look at. I mean, I do think that the ads that were up there, Commissioner Gongora had asked just before his technical difficulties started, you know, if we had any issues with them. They were paying on time, absolutely. Unfortunately, a lot of the ads that were up there were constantly expired, like really, like for a long time expired. And I just think it's such prime space that I truly believe that, you know, there's possibilities for, you know, creative and better uses. I will say the ads on the inside of the garage were not, you know, bad ever. There weren't many of them that I saw, but, you know, the ones that were in there were current and were fine. It's really the external space. And, you know, and to just to clarify a little bit, I'll say we didn't contact Alchemy with the intent to cancel the contract. We got in touch with them because they had asked us to suspend the agreement because of the pandemic. And then we did. And then after, you know, we reinstated the contract, then they actually initiated that they were not comfortable necessarily moving forward with the contract in the current terms. So just to clarify that a little bit. So you know, there are a lot of different options, and I think that it would behoove the city right now, especially when finances are so important to us, to go out to bid and to truly see what is out there.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Anything else? Nope. Vice Mayor.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you, Tanya. I think, yeah, my thinking's aligned consistent with what Commissioner Gongora said about moving forward. I guess a couple of points, maybe there are questions. Based sort of following up on what Commissioner Samuelin just asked, I mean, there's going to be a lag and a process here about finding bidders and going out to bid. So either way, it sounds like if we terminate this now, we're going to lose revenue for multiple months. So that sort of leans in favor of potentially working something out if we can. I guess the question also is, and if we're talking about a revenue sharing plan, do we know what their revenue is? Do we have that information? And would that be part of our negotiations? Because obviously we'd want to know what kind of proceeds we're going to bring in.
Well, I will point out that, we're not currently receiving revenue. Again, they are in default of the contract and owe us around $100,000. So right now we're not receiving revenues at all. I'm not really sure, because we were getting a flat rate each year, what their revenues are. But if they signaled that, sales aren't very good, I can't imagine that, that the revenues would be great. But I don't really know, because I don't know what their sales are. So that's something we could ask them.
So we don't receive their revenue reports, since it was a flat fee they were paying.
Correct.
If ultimately there was some kind of revenue arrangement, presumably that would be required.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I just noticed. A small comment, but I noticed in the staff memo, it said that we're demanding payment from October 1st. But the letter to them went out October 26th. I don't know if there was some kind of verbal communication, but it seems like that the letter demanding payment was sent 3.5 weeks after we are saying that they should start payment. Just noticed that.
I can comment on that, Commissioner Minor. Yeah. This is Jason Jacobson with the City Attorney's Office. Following Alchemy's initial conversations with us, they asked for help with payment due to the pandemic and the force majeure clause. The force majeure clause in this specific contract is unique in that it says once 50% of the parking spaces cannot be used, then it's a force majeure event. So the parties got together. We mutually agreed that that because due to the pandemic, the garages were shut down, and that once the condition that the parking garages were reopened, then their payment obligations would resume, and it would resume automatically without notice. So notwithstanding the notice, by mutual agreement of the parties, the payment obligations automatically were reinstated once the garages reopened.
Okay. Thanks for that clarification. So, I mean, maybe this is a little bit speculation, but if parking usage is down 40%, if we were to put this out to bid or whatever agreement we come up with, presumably we would have to sort of lower our expectations for what kind of revenue we'd be bringing in every month?
Well, if we went to a commission deal, we wouldn't necessarily be able to. I mean, it would be difficult to forecast. We would be basing that on their sales forecasts. So I would have to ask them what that would be. I'm absolutely presuming it's going to be much lower than the amount we're getting right now.
But even let's assume we went to put it out to bid. Presumably any vendor that's going to bid is going to want to see our parking usage. They're going to look at our utilization rates year over year. They're going to know what the former contract was. Presumably the bids are going to come in lower than they were a year or two ago.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to speculate on that. I would rather put it out and see, what came back.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Gongora.
Yeah, I'm still of the same mindset that I would rather send this out of committee to commission and have both sides fully flesh out the issue before the commission meeting and make a determination at that time.
All right, I'll just say that, I was, everybody knows I'm not necessarily a fan of advertising. In our city, especially on some of our properties to third-party vendors. That's just philosophically where I stand on these things. However, I don't know that keeping it at neighborhoods does anything, because you'd have to get into the financial component of this. So this wouldn't make sense staying in committee here. It should have, frankly, I think, gone to finance, but it is here. So I'm fine moving it to the commission, but what are you making a recommendation? I mean, are you moving it without a recommendation? Because there's a recommendation by the administration at this time.
My motion would be to move it to the commission without a recommendation at this time. And since a memo came out late yesterday from administration, they can supplement it as well. The provider, if he wants the commission to consider his proposal, will need to more fully flesh it out. And we can have that discussion at the commission.
Commissioner, Vice Mayor.
Yeah, I, as I mentioned, I like Commissioner Gregora's suggestion. I guess the question is, what until it gets the commission, presumably in March, what happens now? I guess this memo from staff asks for the termination as of February 28th.
We would keep it going until the commission takes action.
Well, yeah, it's not that we're asking to terminate it on February 28th. The contract expires on February 28th.
I would incorporate in my motion to extend the contract for a month so that the commission can take action in March.
Actually, what happens if it lapses? Does it automatically expire or does it automatically go to month?
It expires.
And typically, does administration need to bring this to us with some time or is this part of the usual process that it's expired, then we bring it up, and then how does this work? Because we don't have the authority as an advisory body to extend, frankly, anything, right? That's a commission action to extend. So what happens, this is not heard until March. How does that work? And again, I'm not a fan of advertising, so for me, it's you know, whatever happens, but I'm just trying to understand from a process standpoint.
From a process standpoint. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry, because I would be raising my hand if I weren't using my cell phone electronically. I just wanted to say also echo comments from Commissioner Steinberg, because I think her and I have been the two constants not in favor of advertising. So I want to also put on the record that I am not a fan, as is, I know, Steinberg. We're typically the two no votes on these issues. But to the extent that our colleagues are going to approve advertising in the garages, and I believe they will, then I think this would be the fairest way of dealing with the current provider and how we move forward.
Okay. And Jason, were you going to?
No, in this context, the agreement would expire under its natural terms and conditions. And here there would be a lag until the next vendor would come in to set up its advertising contracts. And in the meantime, Alchemy would be required to remove its hardware, remove its current ads, and get us back to the status quo.
Okay. Vice Mayor, hand is up.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Jason, remind me, was there a renewal option in this contract?
There was a renewal option. Yes.
Was that a yearly?
It was a one-year renewal option.
So it was a 3 and a 1.
Correct.
Got it. And just interesting what both Commissioner Steinberg and Gangora said, it's interesting, ultimately, depending on what kind of revenue we bring in, if enough of the commission is against the advertising to begin with, and we're not even bringing in that much revenue, that raises, kind of changes the equation a bit.
All right, so what do you all want to do? Because we need to wrap this up and move on. This is our last item. And obviously, you all want this heard at commission next month. I guess that's where we're at without a recommendation. Is that where we're at? I just want to wrap it up. And Vice Mayor, your hand is still up.
Yeah, I'll leave it to Commissioner Gregora. I think he made the motion.
And just the right. Final point I may add, because the terms expressed by Alchemy are a complete 180 of the financial terms in the agreement, it's my initial opinion that this renewal isn't effectively exercising a renewal option. It's a new contract, and in my view, it would require a bid waiver.
I think that's fine. So yeah, just to wrap up the motion, because I think we've been talking about it is, hold on, sorry. is yes, the motion that I'd like to make, I'll restate it because I think it's been stated already, is to refer this to the full commission at the March meeting without a recommendation to extend this agreement for a month. The commission can determine in March whether or not they wish to renew and upon which terms. And I assume at that time, legal will apprise us of what the appropriate vote or number of votes would be. And that's it.
Vice Mayor?
I'm fine with that. Jason, just to follow up on what you were saying. So your legal's position is that, and that's an interesting point you make, that if we go this route, assuming the commission were to approve, you're saying that it would be an entirely new contract, even though there's a year renewal?
What I'm saying is because under the new terms proposed by Alchemy, the renewal is clear that it's a renewal under the same terms and conditions. What Alchemy is proposing is completely new financial conditions, changing it from a fixed fee to a revenue share. So that concept is a cardinal change to the contract, which I believe would require a bid waiver.
Well, I'll second Commissioner Gregora's motion. I guess we can flush this all out at commission.
Understood.
So under the same existing terms, you'd like them to proceed for one more month while it's pending its hearing at commission. Is that what I'm understanding? Because as I understand, Jason just said, by the way, do we have the authority to even do that? Or does it expire anyway? I just want to, for clarification, do we even have the authority to keep them for the additional month? And then what terms would they be on for that month?
Commissioner, you could certainly do a month-to-month continuation of the contract if they agree. There's no legal prohibition from doing that.
Okay. All right. So
I'm assuming the entire commission agrees.
Okay. So we don't have that authority. It's a commission body authority.
That's correct. So this would be a referral.
So he's sending what he would like to see happen. Okay. So we have a motion from Commissioner Gongora, seconded by Minor. So show it done. Thank you very much. Any other business, Eric?
That's it from the agenda. Just for clarification purposes, since we not quite sure what authority we have, Jason, under the contract, as far as is it commission authorization that was needed for the extension, or was it administrative?
Administrative.
Okay, so what we'll do then is administratively extend for a month so that this has opportunity to be discussed in front of commission.
All right, okay. Is that okay? Are we good? Jason, your mic went off.
Good for me.
All right, yep. Thank you all very much. Thank you so much for participating today, and meeting adjourned. Have a great one.
Thank you.
Thank you.